I'm pressing on the upper way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Though some may dwell where these are bound, my is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's tableland, no higher place that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My dad used to sing that song a lot when I was growing up. My dad was a minister and my mom was a youth pastor. And I can remember as a little girl sneaking in the room with all the youth people and hiding under the piano bench because my dad played the piano. And I would sneak there and say, that's what I'm going to do when I get big. That's what I'm going to do. I'd watch my sister now, you know, praising the Lord. And they were so happy. And so I have never been around sad Christians. My whole family was like this big jolly thing. I mean, it's not like they didn't go through stuff, but they always were so excited about God. And it spilled over. So it's like 12 of us in the family. And I think all of us, but maybe one, right, Lewis, are preaching for the Lord. And that's unheard of. I mean, that's just every last one of them love the Lord. Some apostles, some prophets, some preachers, and just all over the place. And that's the grace of God. That's God's strength. And everything through Christ, he gives strength. But I've been thinking about that more and more and more. One thing came to my mind this morning as I was sitting back there in Uta's class. And she was talking about salt, when she mentioned salt in her class. And all of a sudden, I was sitting back there, and all of a sudden, the Lord dropped in my heart that, you know, through everything through Christ gives strength. He said, do you know Jesus even had got strength through Christ, through his Father? And I'm like, huh? Because that wasn't in my notes. And I'm like, Jesus? And he was like, oh, yeah. He said, do you remember when he was in the garden? He said he prayed to his Father, Lord, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And the Bible said he sweated great drops of blood because of it. And he was asking for strength from his Father. And I don't think he was asking for it just lightly. I think when he was asking for it, tears was rolling down his face. And he was looking at a creation and a world that did everything but what they were supposed to do. I mean, his disciples couldn't even stay awake to pray with him. This is what he was looking at. And he said, Father, if it be your will. And he said, and then he did it again on the cross. When he looked down and told Mary, this is your son, this is your mother. And he looked up at the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And unto you I commit my soul. Those were not easy times for him, like they are not easy times for us now. Because we're walking in a time now that God is not just expecting, he's requiring us to pull forth the strength from him. And every time we try to pull it forth from within ourselves, we fail. We just fail because we don't have it within ourselves to pull it. But in him, we have that strength. And he never, never, never lets us down. I mean, we was getting ready to come here, Lewis and I, and I remember in my room while he was on a trip with the truck, and I thought, Lord, I'm hobbling. Do something. I don't want to go hobbling, you know. And I'm like, can I even go hobbling? And I went to my doctor, and she said, the pain you're feeling in the back of your leg is your sciatica. She says, you know, you feel that when you're pregnant. I'm like, I never felt that when I was pregnant. She said, you didn't. I said, oh, I would remember this pain. I never had that when I was pregnant. But, of course, my biggest baby was 6'11", so maybe that's why. And they were all early, so maybe that's why I didn't get to that point or whatever. But she was telling me about that, and she says, unfortunately, we don't even have a pill to help that. It's just you're going to have to pray it through. That's all you can do. And so, you know, I sat up there and I prayed and I said, you know what? I was in my basement. I told Lewis this what happened to me. I'm downstairs in my basement. We had a staircase to come up. I said, I'm so tired of you, Flush. I'm just tired of you. You have been messing with me and messing with me. Every time I get over something, here you come again. I'm going to climb these steps if I have to do it through tears. I'm not going to crawl up them. I'm not going to scoot up them. I'm going to climb these steps. And so I'm in the house by myself, and I took one step, and all of a sudden a verse popped in my head from the scripture. And I would say that verse, and tears rolling down my face, and I was like, through all things, God would give me strength. And I would put my foot on the next step. And by the time I got to the middle of the staircase, something happened. There was a strength in me that I can't even explain to anybody. But it was almost like I just went right up the last part of the stairs. And those that's been to my house know how steep those stairs are in my basement. I went up and I stood at the top and I just started crying. And I said, God, what is this? And he said, Evelyn, when you go through this, you're going to know that you know that you know your strength is in me. It's not in you. It's not in your vessel. It's in me. And every time you get to a place that you cannot make it, I am going to remind you, Evelyn, where's your mind? Where's your mind? Is it stayed on me? Because if your mind is not stayed on God, how are you going to get his strength? If you're not eating the right things, how are you going to know what to pray for his strength? You won't know. So my scripture is taken out of Philippians 4:13. And it says, steadfast and exhorted, addressing being united, joyful in prayer, broken relationships restored, refocused, and enjoyed, not once, but constantly. Encouraging your gentleness to be known to all, being exalted in nothing, but everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And so I know that that's what he's telling me. I didn't know that when I first started reading this. See, we're fighting a person that is not the devil, and it's not the world, and it's not your best friend, and it's not your husband, and it's not your wife. It's you. This is our battle right here. This is the battlefield. And this battlefield says, I've been ruling too long to give up. And whatever I have to do to keep you down, I'm going to fight you. And so we are in a fight, literally, for our life. We are in a fight. Because not only do we have to fight everything out here, we have to fight everything right here. Because it remembers things. And it tries to call it back to us to make us forget who we are. But we are a strong people. We are a mighty people, and we are a people that are not going to back up. Not anymore. That may be, it used to be a time when he can make us hang our head and say, oh, I can't make it. Oh, no. I've come too far to turn around now. I've come too far, and you've come too far to turn around now. We have been through too many trials to turn around now. And so we are going to pull down God's strength as never before. We have to, because if we don't, we will fail. This flesh will take us out of here, and then the devil will rejoice on it. But we're telling that flesh, stand back, old flesh, because I'm coming forth. This God inside of me is coming forth. And I keep thinking about our pattern, son. Time after time after time again, he came forth. He went battled through. He got beat. He got spit upon. He got told he wasn't a son of God. You remember, anybody recognize that? Anything like that ever happened to you? Spit upon, talked about, rejected, felt like you weren't even a son of God. But inside you knew there's a God in here that is not going to pull back. And I'm not going to say, let you win anymore. Not anymore will you ever win again. I need three people up here. Three people, please. Three people, just three people. Okay, Carol, you stand right there. Bono, get on this side. You stand right there a little bit. Okay, so Carol represents the past. Okay? Bona represents the future. And she represents the present. This is how we've been living our lives. We've been dwelling on the past, thinking we know what the future is going to bring, which is not promised to us, instead of living in today. This is where we have to live, right here. We can't live over there anymore because we can't go back and change that. We can't refix that. We can't do anything to that. We can't even depend on this because this right here is not promised to no man. And we are the species man. This is not promised to us. But right here, his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Every morning we get new manna. Every morning we get new substance. Every morning we can wipe the slate clean and start off again. So while I'm sharing this message, that's one thought I want you to keep in your mind. Am I going to keep living in the past? Or am I going to let the past be the past? And I'm going to press. Am I going to keep thinking, I'll do it tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, which is not promised to us. You know, it's just not. That's what the scripture says, and the Bible doesn't lie. Or am I going to start living for today, taking one step at a time? Whether it be a baby step or a big step, I'm going to live for today. So sometimes when you paint a visible picture, people get it better. Some people get it by hearing. Some people get it by seeing. So that's why I wanted to paint this picture to you. That's the past. This is the future, and this is the now. And it's kind of significant that the now is her, isn't it? Because God said, unless you come like her, you can't even get in. You know? So that's kind of significant. Thank you, ladies. So I wanted you to say that to you. God's mercies are new every morning. Every morning. I can come to him a fresh and anew, and time and space means nothing to God. It means something to me. Unfortunately, I'm getting out of that. I told my husband not too long ago, we're ministers in our church. And we have a corporate ministry. And anybody that's pastors will relate to this. And sometime you're in there and God gives you a word. And you say, you know, we should start doing blah, 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 whatever it is. And everybody's like, well, no. No, it doesn't witness to me. I don't think that's the Lord. I think we need to go home and pray on that some more. And you're sitting there going, well, I know I prayed and God told me to bring that up to the ministry, you know, so we can do this. And they're saying no. And so you go home and you say, I said, I'm not bringing nothing else up to them. I'm so sick of them telling me no. I'm done. Every time I come up with an idea, 2 weeks later, there's my idea. Somebody else brought it up. And they's like, oh, that's such a good idea. I'm like, and I'd go home and I'm trying to fuss with Lewis, and he goes, Evelyn, wasn't your idea. it was God's idea. Who asked you? Evelyn, wasn't your idea. What does it matter? As long as it come about, shouldn't you be happy? No, because God gave it to me first, and they vetoed it. They all prejudiced against me, and I'm not talking about black and white prejudice. They is all just, every time I suggest something, they say no. This was a trial for Evelyn. This was a trial for Evelyn. It took me months. I wish I could tell you I got through it in one day. I did not. I'd go home, and he wouldn't help me. So I was mad at him, too. Go live with all them people you agreeing with. And he would look at me and go, I say, what are you doing? I'm moving out the way, because when the lightning come through the house and hit you, I'm not getting hit. I'm moving over here. And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, one day, I just sat there, and I was like, Lord, I was like, every time you give me something, and I go to church, and I share it with the ministry, am I part of this ministry? Am I part of this leadership? And it's like the heavens is quiet. One day, I told you, I came home, and I turned off all the lights in the house, because I decided he won't talk to me. I don't want him to see me. And I was talking about God. So I turned off all the lights, and I sat in the dark, and Lewis walks in the house and, what are you doing? I said, I refuse for him to see me if he's not going to listen to me, and he's not going to answer me. He goes, what have you been drinking? What is wrong with you? Where do you come up with these ideas? I had to do something because I needed to feel better about myself. So I went through this for months and months, and finally, we go to a meeting, and I'm sitting there, and one of our apostles come in at the meeting, and all the people she could sit by and all the leadership, we having this big dinner, and it was so nice, and inside I was still going like this, but outside I was like, oh, praise the Lord, yeah. Oh, God is so good. And I'm just pouting, you know. And I don't know myself in this place. I've never been here before. I've never been so headstrong about having my way about something. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, she says, I want to sit by Evelyn. And our other apostle said, yeah, I'm going to sit on the other side of Evelyn. I'm like, why do you want to sit by me? Oh, God. Okay, I better stop thinking. Mm-mm. They're going to hear it. They're going to feel it. Mm-mm. Okay. She goes, so how are you doing? I'm fine. I'm doing good. She goes, uh-huh. Okay, she waited a few minutes. And she's like, why aren't you talking? Everybody's talking in the meeting, and you've been sitting here for half an hour quiet. You don't even have a suggestion. I was like, you know, I'm just going with the flow. I just felt like, you know, I'm just going to cruise along and whatever the hole feels, that's what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. She said, are you? And I said, yeah. She goes, and you're going to feel right about it. I'm like, something about her, you can't lie, you know. You're in the church of God, number one. She's an apostle, number two. Number three, God could hear you. And you're like, well, I just don't know where to put this place I'm feeling. You know, what are you feeling like? And so I go to tell her. She starts laughing. She goes, oh, sweet little one. And I'm waiting for her to say the next word. You know how they give you this encouraging word. She was like, so what's the next subject on the docket? And she didn't even discuss it. She didn't even say anything about it. And I'm like, see, I know it. All of them against me. Uh-huh, they've been talking together before I got here. And I looked at Lewis, and he goes, babe, I wasn't talking to them. I'm like, yes, you were. You're on their side. Because when we get home, you never say, I agree with you. And he goes, and I'm never going to say that if it ain't God. You know that. You know, so I get home, and a month goes past, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting there. And Nancy gives me this workshop. Everything through God. Through Christ, give strength. I'm not getting no strength. So something's missing here. And it ain't him. and it ain't them. Okay, so what's missing right here? So I started crying out to the Lord, just crying out to the Lord and crying out. And all of a sudden, he's like, Evelyn, hold your hands up. Held my hands up. He said, make a fist. I made a fist. He says, that's how tight you're holding on to my things. My things. Things that I give you to let go. He said, now open your hand. And I opened my hands like this, and he says, now, doesn't that feel better? Because you see, when I give you something, it's going to come to pass. Whether you are the instrument that speak it forth or not, you are the confirmation to what I speak, and it's going to come to pass. What difference if it comes to pass when you want it to or not? You're not the boss. Okay. I know that I'm not the boss. Okay. So what do I do with these feelings? How do I get my strength back? How do I go and sit in this meeting and feel like I'm worth something? Because right now, God, I don't feel that. I don't feel your strength. And I go back into me. I can't even tell you what happened. I don't know. All I know is I said, okay, whatever I'm holding on to, I release. I just release it. Because I can't live if you can't use me. And I want to be used by you. And I want your strength. And so the first thing I did was I apologized to my husband. And he was sitting in a chair, and he was like, he has this chair to massage you. He's sitting in the massage chair, you know. And we're sitting in the living room, and I walked up to him. I said, you know what, honey? I said, I'm so sorry, because I wouldn't want to be Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want God to come burn us both up. So I'm just really sorry about the things that I have accused you of doing or not doing. And he just smiled like he does, you know. And people don't believe me, but he really don't fight. He don't fight. It's so just, oh, sometimes it's just so, You know, you want to fight, and he just, okay, baby. All right, honey. And I'm like, can't you just raise your voice a little bit? So I know I got, you know, something. And he go, oh, well, you know, babe, I'll be in the truck in a few minutes, so you'll be okay. I won't be here for you to have to fight with. That just makes it worse. Because he's getting away, you know. So I apologize to him and everything, and I go to the meeting, and next time we have a meeting, I'm sitting there, and the Lord gave me something. I said, why would you do that? Oh, that's right. I'm changing. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in this meeting, and he gives me something, and I bring it out in the meeting, and he, next thing I know, you know, nobody really said much about it. It was a test for Evelyn. I go home, and I actually felt good. I didn't feel like, you know, like everybody was beating up on me or anything like that, and I went home, and I said, Lord, I said, what was that? He said, you had to turn loose. You were holding me too tight. You're holding me too tight. You see, I work through you. You don't work through me. And so anything that I want to happen, and I speak to you, you have got to be able to hold it loosely. You have got to be able to know if it's God, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. That's your strength. That's your strength in me. See, Jesus had a key that we're just now getting. He knew they could beat him as much as they wanted to. They could nail him to the cross. But he knew who he was because he had the strength of God working inside of him. So do we. We all have the strength of God working inside of us. And sometimes we forget. We forget. And we let our flesh and everything else around us tell us that we are not that person and we need to do this and we need to do that. And no, we don't. We just need to let go and let God. Just let go and let God. I was asked in my town, some ladies came to me and they said, It was around Christmas time. And they came to me and they said, you know, Evelyn, our meeting, not anybody goes to my church. She said a bunch of us was meeting at our church. And we decided that we were going to give a great big Christmas box out to someone. And it's going to have double everything in it. And we were praying and saying, who would be the right person to turn this over to? So that they can pray who in Delta Junction needs this box. She said, and while we were praying, your name came up. And she said, would you honor us in taking the box and pray about where it should go? And I was just blown away. I was like, that's an honor. I would be more than honored to do that. And so there was a family that we have in Delta that has 6 or 7 or 8 kids, and they just moved to Delta, and they're kind of going through the wilderness. I call it the wilderness thing that they have to go through when they come to Alaska. They think they have to live all crazy. That's the God way. I'm in Alaska. I live rough. No running water. No flush toilets. Let's make my wife do the wood stove. And I'm going to go up to the north and be up there for days. But she don't need no modern convenience while I'm in the up north flushing toilets. I call it the syndrome. This is a syndrome. And they're going through that, but they're coming out of it, you know? And so that's the couple that I went to. And when I went to them, they was coming into town, and I said, I know I put you on a Christmas list, everyone, because Delta Junction has a Thanksgiving and a Christmas list. And we, all the churches go around and find all the people that are less fortunate in Delta. And we all put money in a pot, and every year we give out Christmas boxes with age-appropriate toys for the kids and food for Christmas. So nobody in Delta is without. And so we do that every Christmas and every Thanksgiving. So I gave them, they said, you gave us a Christmas box. And I said, yeah, but this is a little more. I said, I want to give you this, and I want to strengthen you. And they hadn't been to church in a while. They went to our church, but they hadn't been there in a while. And I said, I really want to give this to you. I think that you are the people to take this box. And the husband started to weep. He just started to weep. And he was like, Evelyn, he goes, thank you. He said, thank you. I said, please take it. If not for you, take it for your children. You know, just take the box. And so they took the box, and I took it home. And so while I left their house, I went down the street a little ways, and this other lady approaches me. And she says, Evelyn, I want to bless you because not enough of God people bless God people. She said, you need a blessing while you're still breathing. We always want to bless people when they're dead and gone. We always want to put flowers on their grave. But, you know, if they're not doing something for you personally, you forget to bless them. She said, I want to bless you because of your sons. And I said, my sons? She said, yes, I work out at Fort Greeley with your 3 sons. I have never met any young men that was so mannerable. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. She said, they are just a good witness of you and your husband, Lewis. And I want to tell you, well done, Mom. Well done. And I'm sitting up there listening, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know how you're reading the Bible about a virtuous woman and all this stuff? And you don't never think of stuff like that going to come at you from a perfect stranger. And so I went home, and I was telling Lewis about it. And we both sat there, and we both teared up, and it just gave us such strength to know that even when we want to hit him upside the head, that whatever we did to strengthen our children, we did the right thing. Because Christ's strength is in them, and it's carrying on, not just from them, but to their children, and hopefully to their children's children, but more importantly, to people that's around them. The strength of God is carrying on through them. Now, in verse 8 of Philippians, of that same chapter, tells us to meditate on these things. That word meditate on those things mean to you know, what do you think word meditate means? I should ask you first. What do you think that word means? To ponder. Concentrate on. Who said that? To what? To study. All those things. All those things. It means, you know, it means all those things, and it means not to not to just lightly think on it, but to stop, get silent. Get silent. And let God speak to your mind. Don't think you know what it means. Let him tell you what he wants you to do in that instance. So it says, in verse 8, it says, tell us to meditate on these things. And the God of peace will be with you as you meditate. And that verse goes on to say, you know, think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are peaceful, what, you know, it goes on and on and on and on. And we get to that verse and we read it through really quickly. How many of us actually go, whatsoever things of peace? God, what do you mean by peace? Whatsoever things are lovely? God, what do you mean by lovely? How do I think on those things? See, because if we want to be strengthened, we got to know what his mind is when it concerns certain things in the Bible. And they've been calling you Smiley so much, it makes me forget why I had to say your name. Anyway, when he was ministering, he was talking about how, how was I going to say that? Like, think on those things, and he was talking about his house and, you know, all these things that he was gone. But he had to meditate on this. And when he haphazardly stopped meditating on it and took a lesser bid, the father let him know through his father, you messed up. You messed up. Because I told you to do this. And you're getting ready to have more payments because you didn't meditate on what I told you to do. You just thought this would be a better way. Yeah, the ones that wasn't here to hear his word, it was really, I've heard it before, but today it was empowering to me yesterday when he spoke it, because it was saying more than just he was buying a house. It was a principle. And that principle was God is strengthening our minds to think like we have never thought before. But if we haphazardly still want to go to the old way of thinking, he'll let us. But who's going to lose out? We will. We will lose out if we don't adapt to the newness that God is bringing into us right now. So he said to think on these things. Then in verse 10, he says, shower appreciation for support from God. Shower appreciation from support from God. You know, when God does something special for you or to you, how many, he mentioned that too, how many of us stop and say, Father, thank you. Thank you for this. I don't go sleep in a motel or any place else without praying before I lay my head down. When I walk in the door of that room, I claim that room for me. And then I thank God for protecting me while I'm in there. Because that's what he told us to do. You know, claim that place. Every ground you walk on is yours. How is it going to be yours if you don't claim it? You don't know who's been in there before you. You don't know what spirit has slept in that bed. You don't know what might try to jump on you because you haphazardly are not meditating on thinking or doing what God told you to do. But he said, strengthen your mind. That's not just your mind here, it's your mind here too. Okay, your heart. Verse 11 says, God tells us not to speak in regret. Not to speak in regret. What does regret mean? Okay, it means to feel sad, to repent. Bet you didn't think it meant that, did you? Okay, or to be disappointed over something that has happened or it has been done to you or someone else. Especially a lost or missing opportunity. He says, don't regret over that. Don't do that. I don't want you to do that. He said, with hope that we have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. So whatever state I am in, therein to be content. Don't regret what you can't help. If you, whatever state you find yourself in, as long as you have done everything you know to do toward God, God will cover you. God will cover you. So he doesn't want you walking around with this big regret over you because I shoulda, woulda, and coulda. He don't want you to do that. He said, whatever state I am in, I have learned to be content. I have learned to be content. How many of us are learning to be content where we are? Are learning to be strengthened where we are. I was on the plane coming down here, Lewis and I, and the plane starts circling Juneau. I've never been in it when it did that. I mean, it didn't do it for 5 minutes. It had to be like a half an hour. It just kept going round and round and round in a circle. And you couldn't see anything. The clouds were so thick. And there was this lady sitting in front of Lewis, and I looked over at her, but I didn't know if she was reacting or, you know, if something was wrong, but I just kept feeling like something's not right with her. So the stewardess stopped and started talking to her, and she said, how long are we going to be doing this? She said, because I'm freaking out. I can't do this. And the stewardess says, well, you know, it might be another half hour. You know, or more, but, you know, so it'd be okay, you know. Sometimes it's an hour, but, you know, maybe another half hour. And I'm looking at her like, really? She's freaking out, and that's what you're going to tell her? And so then another steward, I don't know what you call a man, but do you call him a steward or two? Okay. He comes back there, and she goes, though, this lady is kind of losing it out loud. And she's like, because she's wondering how much longer we're going to be doing this. He said, well, let me go ask the pilot. And he said, maybe they can say something to soothe her, you know, from up front. And so he comes back and he goes, they'll get back with you in a couple of minutes, you know, maybe a half an hour or so, but they'll get back with you. And I'm like, really? What kind of stewardess are? So I was like, okay. So I leaned up in my seat. I tapped her on the shoulder because she was over there in front of Lewis. And it was like, keep your seat. And I tapped her on the shoulder. She turned around and I said, I am praying for you. You're going to be okay because I'm praying for you. And she reached back and she grabbed my hand. I said, I got you. We're in this together. And I am going to hold on to you as long as you want me to, because nothing's going to happen to you because I'm praying to my God and I'm praying for you. And so she sat there, she started crying, and she sat there, and she got real quiet. And every time she would turn around to me, I said, I'm still praying. I'm right here. Every time she turned around, God says, don't take your eyes off of her. She needs to see your face. And so every time she turned around, I was looking right at her. I was like, I got you. And I did that until they finally stopped and started going down. And when we hit the ground, when she got up, tears rolling down her face, she said, thank you. Thank you. She said, I needed that. She said, thank you. And I was like, it was my pleasure to do that. She said, thank you. She said, I prayed too, but I couldn't. You know? And I sat there, and what strength they gave me, you know. I'm helping her, and I'm like, oh, that was so cool. You know, that God let me do that, you know. I didn't feel like, oh, yeah, look what I did. No, I thought, oh, my God, because I can remember when I was on a plane with Nancy, and weird things started to happen like it does when you're on a plane with her, you know. And she was like, it's okay, Evelyn, we're going to be fine. And I can remember that. I was sitting back there, and she come back there, and she goes, girl, I'm on this plane. Ain't nothing going to happen. I'm like, okay. And I remembered that, and I thought, Lord, how much I have grown, how much you have strengthened me that I am strengthening someone else. That's what strength in Christ is for. It is not for us. It's for someone else that God is going to let you run in contact to. And then all of a sudden, this inner strength is going to rise up in you, and you're going to be able to minister in an area that you probably never thought you would minister in. And so we get up and walk, and the guy in back of me, two guys in back of me, he stood up. He says, you know what, young lady? You're all right. You're just all right. And I was like, I had to look up at him because he's a really big guy. I was like, oh, okay, thank you. He said, yes. He said, that was so good. He said, you're all right. And he was walking, and I'm like, oh, okay. So now here's the lady in front over there, the man in back of me, the man in front of me, and the man in back of Lewis. How many seeds did you just plant? How many seeds did you just plant? Because your strength spilled over on all these people on this plane. And I mean, I look out the window, and I couldn't see anything either, but I could not afford to get scared. Because I had to be a focal point for her. And so I was sitting up there on that plane, and I'm telling you, your day is coming. That's why this word is so important. That let the strength of God, everything you do, God is trying to strengthen an area of your life. Everything you go through, God is trying to strengthen an area of your life. There is not one thing, even if you fall down, God is going to strengthen you to get back up again. You know, everything you do. It's strengthening. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, he's still strengthening you. And somewhere down the line, he's going to pull that thing forth. And all of a sudden, you're going to be able to give when you never thought you could give. Because this inner strength in Christ has grown to maturity in that area for you. That's what it's all about. Because God is maturing a people. We can't save the world as babies. We come to him as babies, and he sends us out as young men and women. That's where he's at. He said, have you noticed that in your churches, God is taking the babies, and they're growing up? They're growing up, and they're doing things that they've never did before. And then here some pastors are trying to keep them down. You know, not yet. Wait till you get about 50. Then you can get up and share the word. Man, the young man that runs the Assembly of God in my church in town, in Delta, he's the same age as Benjamin. I was looking at him, and when I first met him, I'm sitting beside him, and I was like, wow, he looks really young, you know. And I met him and his wife, and he was like, and he got up and shared a word on baccalaureate. Y'all know what that is, right? That they have a baccalaureate every year for the high school. And he got up and shared a word. All these old fogies, including me, I hate to include myself in that, but all of the old fogies up there had shared a word, and it was good. But this man shared a word. This young man shared a word. He had the kids on the edge of their seats. Come on. Our new generation has something to say. They have something to give, and it's because of what we put in them. And they have something to give, and it's time for us to stop silencing them and listen to them. That's how they grow. How did we grow? How did we grow? You know, we want to tell them they got to go through 50 classes. Most of us in there, I ain't went through no 50 classes. We went to class of hard knocks, you know, but we didn't go to 50 classes. And look at us, where we have come from. Look where you have come from. If you ever get discouraged, take a piece of paper, and on this side write your name, and on this side write, my name that God has given me, what God has did in me. And do it like a marriage couple. Write all the bad times and all the good times. all the good things God did for you and all the bad things that you think that, you know, you went through this, I went through this. But on this side, right, but God, what God did to you when you went through that and how much farther along you are now. And some of those things you look at, you're like, oh, I don't even know when I got out of that. When did I walk through that? I forgot when I walked through that. Because God brought you through, grew you up, and sent you on your way to do something else. They do that in this marriage counseling thing. They do that. Write the good things and the bad things about your husband. Well, that's our husband. Write the good things and bad things about your husband. And if the good things outweigh the bad things, then throw the bad things away and hold on to the good things. Because the bad things were just a stepping step. But the good things is going to take you on. That's what they're going to do for you. Because everything God does gives you strength. Everything. Even in your sorrow. Even when you cry. In your tears. Everything you go through. God has a strength that will never fail you. Never fail you. I am so excited that God is doing something great with me. I may be limping, but I told him, I told my flesh, you know, you may be limping and it scares me to death about even thinking about surgery on my knee or anything like that. But you know what? God's got me. God's got me. And he's not going to let anything happen to me till I do that that he wants me to do. And he's not done yet. He's still got a lot of work for you and for me to do. And so I'm going to be like my dad. He came to visit me and my brother-in-law mother came to visit him, and she's older than my dad. My dad's really funny. And she's always, my brother Curtis, my brother-in-law Curtis' mother is close to the age of my mom and dad, but my dad's younger. So he came to visit me, and she came and sat beside him, and he moved over, and I was laughing at my dad. He goes, they're going to think that's my wife. You're my wife. She's too old to be my wife. And I'm like, Dad, that's mean. He goes, no. And he goes, and so then they asked a question up there, and it was like the preacher was preaching, and he was like, and who in here has somebody has told you you're too old? He raised his hand. He goes, my wife, she told me I was getting old. He goes, she goes, well, you're not old. I'm going to tell her that when I get home. I'm going to tell her I'm not old. Who told you you were old? Lady in our church said, you're just matured. So we don't even use the word old. You've just matured. And when a husband and wife get into an argument, they're having a, what's it called? Intense fellowship. Exactly. Intense fellowship. He's like, stop calling it, we're getting an argument and we're fussing. What's wrong? Oh, me and my honey, we just have an intense fellowship. Yeah. But we're okay. We're okay now. We're okay now. We're gonna turn that around. I think it's a nicer word to say it. Why do you have to say we're arguing? We're mad at each other. No. You have an intense fellowship. That's what you're having. It's a lot better word. A lot easier word to clean up at the end of it. You know? And so this is what strength of God does to us on a daily basis. But I'm telling you, everything that you do, everything that we do, God's got an awesome, marvelous plan for us. And he is not done with us yet by the long run, by the long run. In John, 1 John, John 15, and I don't have my Bible. I think I'm going to need my phone, unless somebody want to read it for me, because I don't have my Bible up here. Anybody have their Bible? So it's going to be John 15, verse 5 through 8. If you could read, if somebody could, with a nice loud voice could read that for me. Or if you give me my phone, I can look it up on my phone. Anybody got it? Okay, would you read it, please? Did you hear that? Now, don't you want to bear fruit? What's the secret? What do you have to do to bear fruit? Abide. Abide in who? In Jesus. Abide in Evelyn? Abide in yourself? Abide in Jesus, in God, in our Savior, in the Lord, whatever name you call him by. Well, don't call him by nothing weird, but whatever good name you call him by. But whatever you abide in, he said, if you abide in there, because you are the what? You're the branch. You're the branches, okay? And who is the tree? The Father. Who's the tree? And he bears much fruit. Now, let me ask you this question. When you bear all this fruit, is sometimes some of that fruit has to be done what to? Huh? Pruned, right. And when it's pruned, what do you look like sometime? You look like you don't have as much as you used to have. But let somebody take a bite off of that fruit that you have on there. It will be so sweet. It will be so melting in your mouth, sliding down your belly. Everything about it will be just be, mwah. And the Father will say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. There is not one person in here that don't want to hear God say, well done, right? So just like I said when I was in worship, when I was sitting up there in worship and I said, worship is changing. Worship is changing. For me. I don't know about you, but it's changing for me. I have loved music all my life, ever since I was a little girl. My brothers and sisters used to get so mad because I knew every commercial on TV. And every time the commercial would come on, I would sing the commercial. And they would turn the TV down, and I just loved that because then I could sing it by myself. And I would sing it, and they would get so mad, they would throw pillows at me. Mom, make her shut up, you know, and it's all kind of stuff. And I'm singing all these commercials because I love to sing. I went on a cruise ship, and they asked me to come sing, and I was like, I don't know any of the songs anymore. They said, well, here's a book. See if you know anything in here. And the only song I knew in there was Gladys Knight's Midnight Train to Georgia. And that's the last song I think I remembered before I came to the Lord. And so I was like, well, I can sing that. I'll just sing it to Lewis. And so I started singing that song to Lewis. And I started going, oh, I'm gone, boy. Never did karaoke. It was my first time. And I first started, I kept messing up. I was like, oh, wait. Am I supposed to follow the bouncing ball? They was like, yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to follow the bouncing ball this time. So I'm singing that song, Midnight Train to Georgia, and I'm singing it to Lewis. And I got done singing the song, and the guy that was over the karaoke stood up and said, well, hallelujah then. I have never had such a religious experience off of Midnight Train to Georgia. And I laughed and laughed and laughed about it because he thought, wow, I can't believe she sang that. And I they start sending up all these pieces of paper. I'm like, whoa, that's the only one I know in the book. I don't know the rest of them. But the last thing I want to share is this morning. You know, last night, I went home early because I forgot to eat. And I started feeling lightheaded. That's why I left early. And I went to come up the stairs, and I missed a whole step. And I thought, okay, I need to go home and, you know, and so that's why I left last night and went home. 3 o'clock this morning, I got a call from my niece. And I don't know if y'all remember, but you remember my brother Sherman that passed away, and I came to that conference right after that? It's his daughter. I haven't heard from her since then. And she called me this morning crying. And she said, I hope it's not too early. It was like 3 o'clock this morning. She said, I hope it's not too early. She said, but my dad always told me, if I needed somebody for strength, call your Auntie Evelyn. She said, and I need you, Auntie. She said, but I thought that I would be worrisome, so that's why I've never called you. She said, so I want to know, can I call up on you? Can I call and ask you the things I don't know? Because a witch had come in her beauty shop. She has a beauty shop, and it scared her. But I'm saying, had I not been rested, I probably wouldn't have woke up. Everything God does is to bring us a strength for someone else. And so I was able to strengthen her because I was strengthened. Because I told her, I said, I'm at a conference right now. And I said, so you got me at a good time. I'm all pumped up. So I said, so what do you want? Let's go. I can tell you whatever you want to know. So I am just encouraging you. Don't count the things you go to as a bad thing. But know God is strengthening you in that area for someone else and for your next trip. Amen? Amen.